This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, we are talking about marriage and long-term marriage and relationship. We're talking with Sharla Muller. Sharla has worked in the advertising and PR agency business for 20 years, including a stint in New York City at one of the world's top 10 PR agencies, and at smaller agencies in Atlanta and Charlotte. Her book, 365 Nights, A Memoir of Intimacy, came out this past June. It's by Berkeley Books, a division of Penguin. It's a funny and intimate look at turning 40, at being married, and wondering if there's more to marriage than just laundry, babysitters, and negotiating the DVR. It started when Charlotte's husband was about to celebrate his 40th birthday, and she offered to give him something memorable, something that only she could give. She offered her husband sex every day for a year, and her book documents that year, and we are just really privileged to have her as a guest on the show today.
I don't think that a lot of wives want to say that part of their marriage is flawed. I thought I had a good marriage, and I knew that I married a terrific guy, and I knew that we had a wonderful life together. But I also knew that that had fallen low on my list, and that this was an effort to move that back up on my priority list and show him that I was very committed to that part of our relationship. We were teammates in intimacy, and we were both committed to figuring out how to have it happen in a meaningful way every day that we could. And some of it was, you know, kind of scheduling and kids' schedules, and you've got a sales dinner tonight, and I've got book club tomorrow night, so how are we going to make this happen? But it was giggly, and it was fun, and it took so much pressure off. I know that it's bizarre to think, but having more sex took incredible amounts of pressure off our sex life. My husband, I think, made a great comment when he said, sex every day is not a long-term sustainable model, but neither is sex hardly ever. And so we've landed somewhere soundly in between, and we've been able to pull back in some of the spontaneity, but there's a part of me that's kind of a perpetual planner, and so I kind of make sure that we're scheduling it when we can, and he's reintroduced the spontaneity back into it. So now I feel like we have the best of both worlds, which is very nice.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, Sharla.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is just a, shouldn't be a radical idea, and is. No, you know, I mean, my thought when I was a youth, the idea of getting married was, great, I'd be able to have sex every day. Mm-hmm. I noticed that I've been married 3 times, and none of my marriages have worked out that way. So, first, tell me, how did you get this idea?
Well, my husband was turning 40, and we had some friends that were doing some crazy over-the-top things, you know, elaborate trips. I had a girlfriend that got a new car, and I was trying to think of something memorable that I could give my husband. 40 is kind of monumental in a way. You know, you're pregnant for 40 weeks. You know, Noah sailed on his boat for 40 days, and 40 means you're halfway to 80. So I wanted to do something to kind of mark the occasion, and I wanted to give my husband something that only I could give him. And we weren't in a position to take an elaborate trip or buy anyone a new car, and I was kind of brainstorming, and it came crashing down on me in kind of all of its glory, and I thought, oh, this is just the best idea ever. I'm going to give him intimacy every day for a year.
Yeah, and I can pretty much guarantee he will remember what you gave him for his 40th birthday.
Exactly. I didn't want him to pause and say, gosh, what was it that she gave me for my 40th birthday?
Now, I read the book quickly. I didn't get to read all of it, but it seems to me when you first offered it, he declined.
He did. He turned me down. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, my husband knows me really well, and so I think that there was a part of him that thought, has she really considered all that this could mean? Has she really thought through it all? And I think that there was a part of him that maybe thought, am I up for this? So there were a lot of details to consider and talk through. So he asked me to go back and think about it in a very nice way. And I came back and said, no, I'm really serious. I really want to give this a shot. I think it could be neat and fun and interesting and hopefully wonderful.
Okay, so weren't you worried that you were about to turn? Look, I have to make my bed every day.
Right.
I don't think of it as a joy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have to cook, get meals on the table mm-hmm. for my kids every day. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you a little worried that you were going to turn your sex life into just one more chore?
Certainly, that was under consideration, and my husband was a bit resistant for exactly that reason. I think he wanted intimacy to be the way it was, you know, when we were newly married and didn't have kids, you know, kind of spontaneous and passionate and spur of the moment. But I think that the reality was, at least for us, and I think a lot of couples are like that when they're in the throes of raising children and two careers and making sure the mortgage gets paid every month. I mean, there isn't a lot of time for spontaneity. And so we were taking something kind of from one category, which was the spontaneous and not very often category, and trying to put it into the scheduled but frequent category. So, yeah, we kind of changed the framework for it a bit, yes.
Okay, now, this schedule, spontaneous and not very often. your sex life was okay? It wasn't, I mean, this wasn't like, oh, my God, we have to fix this, it's broken?
You know, I wouldn't have said it was broken. I think that once we got through the year, in retrospect, I realize now it was probably broken. You know, I don't think that a lot of wives want to say that part of their marriage is flawed. I thought I had a good marriage, and I knew that I married a terrific guy, and I knew that we had a wonderful life together. But I also knew that that had fallen low on my list, and that this was an effort to move that back up on my priority list and show him that I was very committed to that part of our relationship.
Was that in question, that you weren't committed?
Well, I think that, you know, the fact that it was low on my priority list certainly made him question that. I mean, I think that, you know, and when I chatted with my girlfriends about this too, it was certainly a message that resonated with them. I mean, there was kind of the overall exhaust factor. You know, we were both working, and I was doing a lot at home, and he certainly was too. But at the end of the day, I would fall in bed exhausted, and that would be the last thing on my mind.
Right.
And we were having a hard time reconciling that. Were we fighting about it? No. Did I feel like our marriage was in crisis? Absolutely not. But I did know that that was something that could be better.
But not only were you not fighting about it, as I understand it, you weren't really even talking about it.
We weren't even talking about it.
It just happened.
It just happened.
It just happened.
And I think that happens with a lot of couples. You just wake up one day and you say, what happened to that part of our marriage?
Yeah, well, my experience was working with couples that it actually happens pretty fast.
Probably.
Yeah. So, okay, the marriage is good, you've got mm-hmm. good communication, mm-hmm. the sex has kind of fallen by the wayside mm-hmm. a little bit, okay. I have a theory, this is mm-hmm. just my personal theory, mm-hmm. that sex in relationships stops when the guy stops asking for it. That really, in long-term relationships, men always tell me, oh, no, it's because my wife didn't want it anymore. But always we get to that moment of, it's because I was afraid to hear no one more time, so I just stopped asking. Is that kind of what was going on with you?
Possibly a little bit. I've never considered that, and I think that you've tapped into something. You know, whether I think women or men like to admit it, I think women are the gatekeepers to intimacy,
mm-hmm.
and men are knocking at the door, I suppose. So when they stop knocking, in a way, that probably did happen. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we talk about it in 365 Nights. We, you know, the fact that my husband finally was able to give voice over this course of the year to his feelings of rejection. And I was so flabbergasted by that.
Right.
I was so surprised. I had no idea that he felt rejected because I didn't feel like I was rejecting him per se. I was
right.
tired and exhausted. You know, I jokingly said to him, well, it's not like I wanted to have sex with someone else and not you. I just didn't feel like having sex at all. And he said, no, that is a rejection of me. And that's a rejection of a certain part of our relationship that's important to our marriage. And it wasn't until we embarked on this year that all of a sudden we discovered this whole new level of communication about the topic that we had never had before.
Well, that's great. It's of course, when I work with couples, it's the first thing you try to encourage. Is that
yeah, it was amazing, yeah.
Now, technically, just the technicality
uh-huh.
of it, didn't you have to have some rules or something?
We did. We did have to.
How did you make this work?
Well, our goal was 365 days. We had some fair rules of play. So when my husband traveled, certainly, you know, we would try to make up for it. It wasn't required. If somebody really, truly had a headache,
right.
you know, they could take a pass.
Right. You didn't, if you were dying of the
flu, you
didn't have to.
If you were dying, yes. Yeah. If you were curled up in a ball, you know, sweating right. bullets, you didn't have to do it. You know, I personally didn't think it was polite to regret to the party that I had planned. So I, you know, tried to make sure that I was kind of at the top of my game, and we ended up averaging between 26 and 28 days a month.
Wow.
So that's what we ended up.
Wow, that's huge.
But we didn't keep score. I mean, certainly, yeah. there were a couple reasons for that. One, we never imagined that there would be a book,
right,
number one.
Right. You didn't do this to write a book.
We did never in a million years did this to write a book, number one. And number two, it wasn't a contest. It was really kind of a meaningful attempt
yeah.
to improve intimacy. And so we weren't necessarily keeping score, but we were, you know, very, very committed to the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Okay, so here's the other technical question that comes up for
yes.
me. The word sex, we all think we know what it mm-hmm. means, but
uh-huh.
I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Now, you know, it's funny because as adults, we just think it's a, you mm-hmm. know, it's a piece of skin and a piece of skin, wiggle, wiggle, pop. And,
yeah.
and but I think that, you know, like sometimes it's intimate kissing and sometimes
right.
it's just holding each other. So how'd you define sex?
Well, you know, the book is a very modest G-rated account, obviously,
yep.
but, you know, for the most part, our definition did include birth control.
Okay.
So, you know, you can conclude from there, yeah.
We need to take a short break. We're going to give a chance to have our sponsors support us a little bit and give a little support to our sponsors. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm talking to Sharlom Muller, the author of 365 Nights. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Sharlom Muller. She has written an amazing book called 365 Nights, A Memoir of Intimacy. And the short version of this is that for her husband's 40th birthday, she offered him 1 year of sex. And we're kind of talking through what that involved. When we went to a break, we were talking about what sex is. And that, to me, it brings up sort of a deeper question about intimacy
mm-hmm.
and about and how difficult sometimes it is to really maintain the level of intimacy that our heart desires.
Mm-hmm.
This would have put that in your face in a big way.
It really did. I mean, we went to pretty much from 0 to 60 in the intimacy department. Yeah.
So how do you deal with it? Is that just conversation? Is it, did you wind up having to get therapy? Did you?
No. I think what it did is it required a new kind of dialogue in our marriage that we had not participated in before. In a way, sex had become the elephant in the living room, and I think that happens for a lot of couples. The less you have it, the more aware of it you become in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had become a gamer. You know, I was gaming kind of on some level on how to get out of it. I think my poor husband was going, gosh, I wonder if tonight's the night, and me going, gosh, I wonder if I can go one more night. And I think a lot of women do that, especially when they're tired and fatigued and kind of feeling overwhelmed by life. And so all of a sudden, we took kind of that gaming environment off the table. And we were teammates in a way, which is the way it should be if you think about a marriage or a committed relationship. And we were teammates in intimacy. And we were both committed to figuring out how to have it happen in a meaningful way every day that we could. And so we were communicating, and some of it was, you know, kind of scheduling and kids' schedules, and you've got a sales dinner tonight, and I've got book club tomorrow night, so how are we going to make this happen? But it was giggly, and it was fun, and it took so much pressure off. I know that it's bizarre to think, but having more sex took incredible amounts of pressure off our sex life.
Well, I imagine the first pressure it takes off is that you're not wondering, are you going to have sex or you're not going to have sex?
Yeah.
you're also not trying to figure out, well, what if he wants to and I don't want to, or what if she wants to and I don't want to. All that's gone.
All that's gone. You know, unless something, you know, unless one of us isn't feeling well, we're going to try to figure out how to make it happen.
Okay, now for me, there was a time in my life when if my partner said, I want to have sex, it wouldn't have mattered if I was awake or asleep. If
right.
I would have just been ready. But I'm in my mid-50s now, and I just noticed there's a lot of conditions I need to be able to. So did you spend a lot of time sort of talking, you know, trying to get to that place where you could be sexual?
Well, I think half of it was just getting our kids, you know, kind of in bed and put away for the evening, and that kind of created a nice, peaceful environment. But I think we were able to kind of get there pretty quickly in a way. So that wasn't necessarily an issue.
So the thing about having sex in the house with kids is a challenging one for a lot of couples. Was that an issue for you guys?
Yeah, you know, I think that we were in a really good place with our kids. Our kids at the time were 5 and 7, so they weren't so young that you were constantly looking around going, where's the baby, where's the baby, where's the baby? But at the same time, they were still kind of young enough to have a pretty early bedtime, but they were still fairly self-sufficient. So I think it was terrific timing in terms of our kids' age. We also had to kind of set some ground rules with them. They probably watched a little bit more TV over the course of the year. They learned to respect a closed and locked door. You know, I mean, there were some, you know, measures that we were taking to kind of set some rules and some mark off some territory for us with our children that I think was very good for us as a family.
Now, as this experiment, this gift, I guess not an experiment, really a gift, as this gift progressed, did you actually notice changes in how you felt about your husband?
It absolutely transformed our marriage.
Okay, so say more about that transformation.
It was amazing. And this is what it did on a couple levels. First, he was happier. I was happier. I mean, it was funny, and I've discussed this with my girlfriends before. You know, there's never been a time where I've been intimate with my husband where I've said, wow, that was a complete waste of time. It's usually been the exact opposite, where I've said, wow, that was really nice. We should do that more often. And he just wants to, you know, he's like, you're kidding, right? So I think that, you know, he was happier and I was happier. We worked better together as a couple. I felt more connected to him. He was more connected to me. And as a result, our kids were happier. Our house ran better. I mean, everything was buoyed in a way by this new intimacy connection. And I think that the second thing, which was a real surprise for me, was the daily kindness that was required of us to be able to come together in that way at night. I think particularly for women, it's hard to be intimate with someone who you've had a fight with or has been a pill to you over the course of the day or has made snarky comments or gotten on your nerves. I think it's hard. And I think what was surprising is that we had to treat each other with a very genuine, authentic gentleness over the course of the day so that we could come together in an authentic and meaningful way at night. And I was completely unprepared for that.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared to have to be that nice and lovely all the
time. Well, so how was that for you?
It was
now,
wonderful.
In retrospect,
it was wonderful. It really was. I mean, you know, I think it's easy sometimes for men to say, you know, ha, 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 I'm going to buy my wife this book. She could learn a lesson or two kind of thing. I mean, you talked earlier about how women are the gatekeepers to intimacy. And I think one of the things that I've discussed is the idea that it requires both spouses to bring their best game to the table every day. You know, a husband can't be a complete and utter jerk and expect his wife to want to participate in something like this. And likewise, you know, a wife can't expect that either. So I think that your marriage has to be in a really good place to be able to even begin to do something like this. And it requires an ongoing commitment to treating your spouse with a lot of respect and love.
So did you find yourself like making a rule for yourself? I'm gonna make sure that every day I give him an acknowledgement or appreciation, or did it just happen?
It just kind of happened organically. It was kind of a very organic thing. But it was nice.
It's a powerful thing you're talking about, because it's a thing I coach couples all the time. I believe as a culture, we spend a lot more time criticizing and looking for what's wrong than we do appreciating what's right.
Absolutely.
And criticism is corrosive. It's just corrosive.
You know, I was just amazed at how much we enjoyed each, you know, not that we didn't before, but we were just enjoying each other so much more and just kind of basking in each other. And I don't necessarily mean behind closed doors. I mean, just really, you know, and I talk about this, you know, that all of a sudden I wanted to, you know, kind of touch him and hug him and look at him in a different way. And you know, it used to be before the year of the gift, I was handing him a child, you know, going, don't, you know, or handing him a recycling bin or handing him a stack of newspapers. And that all of a sudden we were just connecting on a whole different level, and it was just really lovely.
So it sounds to me like the gift of sex for 365 nights turned out to be a gift of friendship and connection and a whole lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It was great.
Okay, well, I got more questions to ask, but we'll take a short break here and give a chance for our sponsors to support us and for us to support our sponsors. By the way, listeners, if you're liking what you're hearing and you like the show, just want to let you know that we transcribe every episode of Sex, Love, and Intimacy. So if you want to print it or you want to read it or you want a cut and forward copy, you can find it on my episode pages at personallifemedia.com. Go to personallifemedia.com and just look for Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Also, you know, my audience keeps growing, and that's a really good thing. If you hear something here that you like, why don't you send it to a friend and let them listen in also, okay? And finally, if you go on those episode pages, you'll notice that there's all kinds of deals and promotions. I have a wonderful agreement with Audible. They do books on tape, books on DVDs and CDs and downloads and all kinds of radio programs. And you can save 20%. You can save 20% on ice.com jewelry and more. All you need to do is when you see any of those offers on my pages, use the promotion code LOVE, L-O-V-E, and you'll get a discount just for being one of my listeners. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We're talking to Sharla Muller. We're talking about her book, 365 Nights, A Memoir of Intimacy. And when we took a break, we were talking a little bit about the intimacy part of this, not the sex part of this. So 365 nights, you get to the end of this. You've done, now you've got a year here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it your habit to have sex every night? Is it? I mean, does it? I mean, what happens next?
Well, you know, it's interesting because my husband, I think, made a great comment when he said, sex every day is not a long-term sustainable model, but neither is sex hardly ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've landed somewhere soundly in between, and we've been able to pull back in some of the spontaneity, but there's a part of me that's kind of a perpetual planner, and so I kind of make sure that we're scheduling it when we can, and he's reintroduced the spontaneity back into it. So now I feel like we have the best of both worlds, if that makes any sense, which is very nice.
And do you find that you still have to sort of pay attention to it, or it will drift into non-existence?
Absolutely. I've realized how attentive you have to be to that part of your relationship. And it is funny because I do think that couples want it to be spontaneous and carefree. And I make the point that nobody wakes up and spontaneously decides to exercise. You know, nobody decides to spontaneously wake up and decide, you know, to go to work or pursue a career. And yet those are all things that are very important. And so I think we've realized that we have to treat intimacy with the same amount of diligence and attention that we treat other aspects that are important to our lives.
Yeah, the thing that I would I'd encourage listeners as they listen to this, the thing about exercise or work is that they're work. The thing I like to encourage people is you don't spontaneously decide to watch a football game. You watch the football game that's scheduled. You can't just decide because it's 10 o'clock at night, well, gee, I want to watch a game right now. You know, there's all kinds of things in our life that we enjoy that we do just for fun, but that we must schedule to do for fun.
You're exactly right. That's a great analogy.
You know, and that's the thing. We will schedule our playtime. We'll schedule a bike ride. And then you say to somebody, schedule sex. And they say, well, but it has to be spontaneous. No, we schedule all kinds of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right.
So I hear one of the lessons you got out of this was you learned about being nice.
Yeah.
The power of being, I hear one of the lessons you got out of this was that you sort of found your best friend again.
Yes, absolutely.
I hear that one of the lessons you got out of this was that this is not really a way to do, you know, you can't live your life every single night this way.
Correct.
What else? What else did you learn from this?
You know, I learned that intimacy is incredibly important to me. You know, I think it's easy for women to say, and I say this because women have said this to me and I have felt this way, well, my husband just wants it more than I do. I just don't need it like he does. And I realized I do need it.
Mm-hmm.
I do need it. And it might not be in the same way or for the mm-hmm. same reasons that he needs it, but that I do need it and that our marriage needs it. And I got a letter from a husband who had actually read the book, and I was so touched by it because he's been married for 27 years, and he said this is still kind of a chronic issue that we're negotiating. And he said, I wish that my wife would show me with intimacy what she tells me with her words.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so profound. and so true in a way. You know, I realized that, you know, my husband, you know, I thought I was doing all these great things to affirm and support my husband and tell him how much I loved him and how much I appreciated him taking care of me and all those things. And then I realized that this was another way for us to communicate that to each other.
Yeah.
And I had missed out on that, I think.
Yeah. I think that I coach people all the time is that talk is really important, and many, many times touch is more important
mm-hmm.
than talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's something we say with our bodies, with our genuine heartfelt affection, that it's more than words.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing because part of the marital vows are, you know, this one person that you're going to love and cherish forever. And I think a lot of us are just so thrilled to finally be married, and then all of a sudden we're not interested in the one person that we promised to love and cherish forever in that way.
Well, I thought your book was wonderfully loving in that way. It definitely, listeners, I just want to say it's a good read. It's an easy read. You sound just like you in the book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And it touched my heart.
Thank you.
A lot of things you said that were just heartfelt, sweet, and I thought really good life lessons.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
If people wanted to buy this book or wanted to just learn more about you, how would they do that?
Well, they can certainly go to their local independent bookseller or Amazon.com. And if they want to learn more about me, they can go to www.charlamuller.com.
That's Charla with a C, charlamuller.com. Yeah. And Charla, we were talking about this a little bit on one of the breaks. I like to give my listeners something they can do for themselves that will enhance the love, intimacy, and sexuality in their life. And you had an idea on that subject.
Sure. I actually mentioned this in the book. Some people are daunted by the idea of 365 days of anything. So the suggestion at the end of the book is if you're interested in kind of turning up the volume on intimacy in your life, double whatever you're doing now, and then 6 months from now, double it again.
Wow. So that requires then you actually have to stop for a minute and really acknowledge
what you're doing now, and then saying, okay, if we're going to double it, what does that mean, and how are we going to figure out how that's going to happen, and let's talk about it. And then 6 months from now, if things are going well, do something wild and crazy and double it again.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. Listeners, if you would like to send me some suggestions about this show or about any other shows or ideas for future shows, you can reach me at chip@personallifemedia.com, chip@personallifemedia.com. If you would like to leave me a voicemail instead of an email, we do have a voicemail system. You can call 206-350-5333. Leave your name, leave my show name, Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and your question or comment. And please leave a phone number or an email that we can get back to you with. If you leave a message on the voicemail system and it's positive about the show, please know that you're leaving the message indicates your agreement for us to use your message on air. Charla, you are just easy to talk to and great fun. I just really want to appreciate you for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was really delightful and fun, and best wishes for you as well.
Thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for listening in. This brings us to the end of another episode of Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and I hope you'll listen in again.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.